All right, again, my name is Steve Elzinga, and we're in the coaching class. Again, I hope it's going well for you. As you're going through this class, when you hear things, you should really try them out. We learn best when we hear and then we do. If you just hear a bunch of things, your mind really doesn't process those things. You probably can't remember a single thing that I said in the last session. I mean, I can hardly remember what I said in the last session. It's when you do something. I mean, when you go to a computer program and you're first learning it, you click here, then you do this, then you do that. At first, it's really hard work, but as you keep doing it over and over again, it just seems natural, it seems logical, and your fingers know exactly what to do, and it's because of practice. You've done it. So you have to put these things into practice, and you can do that anywhere. You can, as a parent, you hear something, you can just try out one little question. You know, I think last time we talked about certain areas of your life, like hobbies or your work. Next time you see someone, ask them, hey, you know, tell me about your work. Are there any frustrations or problems at work that you're experiencing right now? Or the other question of, do you see any areas in your life where you'd like to go to the next level? Like what sport do you play? And have you ever thought about going, what it would take to get to the next level? And then let them talk. See, and I think what you'll learn is that people really enjoy those kinds of questions. You end up helping people think about things that they never stop to reflect on, but when you enable them to do that, they enjoy it. And they think about things that they haven't had the time to think about. And it'll be fun for them. So when you hear something, right away put it into practice. Because what will happen is, you know, instead of just hearing it and trying to file it into, you know, here's all the stuff that I learned in this course, you will have the experience of talking to your friend Bob. And then what Bob said, Bob went on and on about his baseball thing. And because you asked him the question, he's now going to do this new thing. And that will stick with you. An experience, a person, those kinds of things will stick with you, whereas a concept, you know, we just, as human beings, we have a hard time just holding on to concepts. And that's the problem sometimes with education. Education sort of fills your head with one PowerPoint slide after another. You know, one concept, one, two, three, four, five, and, you know, a day later you can't remember what number three was. But you remember experiences, you remember people, you remember an event that happened. So please put these things into practice as you go. So we're still in the decision part, trying to help someone figure out what area of life they want to make a decision about, coming up with a goal, something that moves them towards fixing something or going to the next level with something. So, a little summary again, three things coaches do to accomplish the whole business of coaching. Number one, you help the client figure out what they want to do. Okay, what do you want to do about the problems in your life? What do you just want to do? Okay, not just things you have to do, but what do you want to do? Number two, help the client figure out how to do what they want to do, which is a plan, coming up with a plan. Goals are often many steps. How do you do this? Number three, help a client do what they plan to do, and that's managing a plan that they've already come up with. So we're then helping the client figure out what they want to do, to make a decision about what they want to do. The three basic model categories are brainstorm, prioritize, and commitment, and we're still in the brainstorm area. So we're brainstorming areas of action, brainstorming the problems, the frustrations, the opportunities, the need for some kind of improvement. This is where your life is. This is where you want to be. There's a gap between these two. And what shall we do to get to be where you want to go? All right, I want to introduce you to the needs versus wants model. Needs versus wants. I mentioned them, you know, in an earlier session. Needs are the greatest motivators. If you can tap into a need, then you have a built-in motivation. For example, the need to eat. And drink. We have this need. If we go a whole day without it, it will be the only thing that we can think about, and we will be motivated. We will be motivated to do almost anything to have that need met. Let me tell you a little story. There's a story of a monk kind of person trying to help his disciple, and they go on this, you know, hiking trail. And they get to this river, and the monk who's trying to disciple his follower sort of leads his disciple into this stream. And the disciple gets the feeling like some, you know, ceremony is about to take place, some important ceremony, some learning thing. So, you know, he's kind of excited. And so the monk says, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to dunk your head under the water. And so the monk takes his disciple and he dunks his head, you know, like baptism, dunks his head under the water. And he holds his head under the water. And the disciple is like under there going, wow, this is an honor. I wonder what all this means. And he's sitting there with his mentor's hand on his head, holding him under the water. He's like, oh, I wonder what this is going to do, what this is going to mean. But, you know, 10 seconds goes by, then 20 seconds goes by, and the disciple's thinking underwater, you know, I wonder if this is like a test, or you know, the longer I'm under here, the better. Is this a greater honor? You know, I wonder what this means. But then another 10 seconds goes by, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, 50 seconds goes by, and this guy's running out of air. And he's thinking, how long is this going to be? Is he trying to kill me? And then another 10 seconds goes by, and he's like, he starts to push up. Maybe he's waiting for me to, you know, do something about this. So he starts raising his head, but as he's raising his head, his mentor starts pushing his head down. And it's like, now it's like this battle. This guy's trying to kill me, and you know, and all of a sudden, finally, the mentor lets him up, and he comes up out of the water, and he's spurting, he's gasping for air. He's going, "What's going on?" And the mentor says to him, "You know, a minute ago, you had a need for air, but you didn't think anything of it." You, every couple of seconds you take in air and then you exhale air, you take it in and you don't think anything of it. But in 1 minute, 1 minute of withholding air from you, just 1 minute, it's the only thing that you could think about. It was the greatest need in your life. You weren't thinking about world hunger. You weren't thinking about, you know, if we could only have a world that lives in peace. You weren't thinking about, you know, the problem that you had with someone this morning. This is the only thing that you could think about. That's the power of need. Need motivates like nothing else. So, in this model of needs versus wants, you know, if you want to help your client actually figure out something to do, if he could figure out a need, you're probably going to get a client that's actually going to do something. So it's a good place to start. So simply ask, what are some of the greatest needs that you have in your life right now? I know it's a big, broad, general question. But within a few minutes, people will sort of segue to their need. Maybe it's a need in their family. Maybe it's a health concern that they have. You know, the doctor said, if you don't start losing weight, you can have a heart attack. And, you know, he's been staying up at night thinking about it. That's a need. That you know, and a lot of times when it's a problem, so we have this, we have two things going against each other. We have a need that gets us really motivated, but a problem which we want to avoid. And that's true for a lot of people with their health. They have a need to be healthy, and when they hear that there's a problem with their health, they want that fixed. But on the other hand, they don't want to think about it. And so they put off going to the doctor. They put off doing anything about a problem that they see. So you have these two working sort of against one another. So as a coach, you're helping them break that cycle, that dilemma, that thing that stops action. What is your need right now? In the area of health, in the area of your family, in the area of work, in the area of your future, in the area of your relationship to God, and, you know, all the different areas of your life, what is a genuine need that you have that is not now being met? And if you could identify that, maybe some good thing can happen. Wants, okay? There's needs, there's wants. A lot of times we confuse the two. One is something that you really need. The other is just something that you want. And why do we want things? A lot of times we want things because other people have them. You know, people in my neighborhood have a green lawn. Now all of a sudden I want a green lawn when maybe I wouldn't care otherwise. People get new shoes. Like I think in our Western culture, we have this thing for shoes. I mean, we can only wear two shoes at a time. We have only 2 feet, but often people have 6, 7, 8, 10 pairs of shoes. My niece, I saw her closet the other day. She has like 50 pairs of shoes. You know, why would you need 50 pairs of shoes? Well, because people, you know, you meet someone and all of a sudden they're wearing a different pair of shoes and you look and you go, oh, I see those are new shoes. And boom, it's on your mind. And it's somehow cool. It somehow makes us feel better. And so all of a sudden now we want that. Or someone has an Apple Watch. Now we want an Apple Watch. Or they have an iPhone. Or they have some other kind of a big phone. And, you know, it's a great screen. And now we need to have that thing too. We didn't need it before, but now we do. Even the phone culture of today. You know, 50 years ago, people didn't have phones that you could walk around with. The phone was attached to a wall, a wire. It's, you know, if you're a younger person, you can hardly imagine that kind of world. But now people, they think they need it. And they need a fancy one. They need an expensive one. So there's all these things that we think we need, but they're really wants. And we want them because everyone else wants them. And so we end up cluttering our lives with all these things that we want. So there's needs. Those are the strongest motivators. And then there's wants. Wants are motivators, but they don't last that long. So what are your wants? And let's reflect on that. Maybe you're being bombarded with all your wants. And really you have to concentrate on your needs. So you're helping your client think about the difference between those two. Now in the world of your needs and your wants, what can you do about these situations? So what are your needs right now? Talking about needs. And then come up with an action-oriented goal related to your needs. Okay, this is what you need. And obviously, you know, there's a problem. You're not getting what you need. What is it that you could do that would solve this problem? I need a greater sense of purpose. A lot of people are struggling with their sense of purpose. What am I doing? I'm in a rut. I'm working. I have all these habits. I have all the obligations and all these things that I'm doing. But what I need is a sense of purpose. And that need is not being satisfied with all the activities and the relationships and all the things that I'm doing. So how am I going to get a greater sense of purpose? That's the problem. That's where we have to figure out an action-oriented goal related to your needs. Maybe that's why you're here at Christian Leaders Institute. You're taking classes because you're trying to figure out your purpose. You're learning about God and His world and ministry, and you're asking the question, what is out there for me? What is God's purpose in my life? That's a huge need. It's an unstated need. It's a need that many people have and they don't even know that it's there. So as a coach, you're giving, you know, a possible expression to that need. And then something can be done about it. See, you know, maybe you need to get motivated to take these classes, to keep powering through, watching the videos, taking the quizzes. And if you understood what's driving your interest in the first place, it would help you. It would give you more endurance. It would help you listen to one more video tonight rather than just going to bed. Because you have a need to figure out what your purpose is. And once you've identified it, And now you can, you know, okay, so I'm gonna ramp up my studies because I really want to have a sense of purpose in my life. What are your wants right now? And are those wants cluttering your life? Or are those wants, if you got the things that you want, would they truly help you with your needs? Or are they going to just clutter up your life? Action-oriented goals related to your wants. Okay, so this is one model that you can use to sort of help your client think about what action-oriented goals he could come up with. Okay, another model is the obligation and commitment model. What obligations do you have? So these are things that you are now sort of stuck with, okay? I have an obligation to my wife. I married her 40 years ago. I made promises to her. Recently, she was sort of unhappy with the general chaotic mess that we have in our home. I have so many projects and so many unfinished things, and I don't like to throw anything away. And I can live with a certain measure of chaos. And she likes order. I mean, she likes, you know, one of her hobbies is bird watching, and she likes categorizing. This bird is that, and that bird is that. And it's like, I see no purpose in any of that. Organizing for the sense of organizing? Now, I'm more purpose-driven. What purpose does anything have? And so I don't care about it all organized. Now, and I want to keep everything because you never know what purpose I'm going to need that thing for. Especially, you know, with sermons. I still have my slide rule. Probably most of you have no idea what a slide rule is. We have calculators now, but the way you figured out calculus and all these complicated math things was with this slide thing that had numbers on it. I still have mine from 40, 50 years ago. I've never thrown it away. Why? I might need that. It might be a good illustration for something. In fact, I wish I had it right now. I would show you what it is. I got to go home and find that. So, you know, I have obligations, though. We're a partnership. I can't just do the things that I want to do. I have to take stock and go, okay, what, you know. So that, I need some action-oriented goals related to my obligations. Obligations to my spouse. Obligations to my family. My oldest son is coming home from Ecuador next Wednesday. My youngest son is home from Washington, D.C. A week ago. So I'm going to have all four sons and their wives and all the grandkids are going to be home. I have obligations to my family. But I have a huge pickleball tournament coming up next week. And I have this class to finish. I have a Bible that, you know, I'm working on a King James Bible, and I'm making it sort of a study Bible it's a trucker's edition. A trucker guy wants to use it to reach truckers, and so I've been trying to help him. I got to get that done. It's, you know, I've got all these things I got to get done because of obligations. And it, you know, these things are the stresses in my life. These are the things that are creating trouble in my life. They're pinching on my life. I have the children's book that I'm working on, the Christmas children's book. It should be done. I got to get it off to the printer, and you know. So I gotta put all these obligations down and sift through them. Right now, see, what we tend to do with obligations is we just let them sit there. Every one of them is a number one priority. So you have like 10 number one priorities in your life, and they're just weighing you down. Instead of realistically looking at them and going, okay, there's no way in the world I can actually fulfill the obligations to all these things. I'm going to be failing here. And so what we tend to do is we just fail randomly. Instead of like stopping and going, okay, what am I going to do about this problem? You know, I can't do all of them, so what am I going to do? And how am I going to delay things? Which one am I going to push off? What am I going to say no to? How am I going to fix this problem? I can't just ignore it. See, we tend to just ignore it and let life happen. And then disasters just, you know, happen in our lives and we have no control over it. And we feel run over by a truck. So you're helping your client take stock of your life. What are all your obligations? Can you do all these obligations? Is it possible? Or what can you do about it? Action-oriented goals related to your obligations. A similar one is commitments. What commitments do you already have? Things that you've said you're going to do. You know, I got a sermon this Sunday. It's Friday today. I haven't done it yet. I'm going camping. My kids are going camping. They invited me to go tonight. I'm going camping and then all day tomorrow. When am I going to do this thing? But I have obligations. I have a commitment. And I have to make this commitment. So I can just sort of go with the flow and see what happens. And then, you know, disappoint people. Or I can stop and go, what am I going to do? What am I going to give up? Take charge of my life instead of life taking charge of me. You see how these things, this is where the rubber hits the road for most people. This is where the frustration comes, and it's because we don't take charge. And so your client is likely one of these kind of people. And so as a coach, you're like, let's take charge. Let's look at this. Let's figure this out. I'm going to help you figure this out. You're going to leave this room with a thing that you're going to do about this problem. This problem is not going to just run over you. Action-oriented goal related to your commitments. All right, so that's all we have for this session. In the next session, we're going to continue. What I'm trying to do is give you these different models that they can help you help a client think about the areas of their life, frustrations, opportunities, problems, commitments, obligations, all these different things that will help them figure out how to actually take charge of their life.